Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
It's almost like you were told to make your world smaller, weren't you? You were told to stay at home, you're told, and we're creatures of habit, right? So the more we avoid, the more anxious we become about those things that we're avoiding, right?
We've almost lost, haven't we, those cues, those natural cues that you would have about people saying, yeah, let's talk some more, or should we meet up again? Should we go and grab a coffee?
Find a way that works, you know, play a game online with someone, you know, watch a movie with someone. But once you can come out, do it tentatively, start in a park, you know, do it in a way that feels safe, but ultimately do it.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. And this podcast comes out just a day after World Mental Health Day. And it's one of those times where sometimes these sort of highlighting days really shine a spotlight on a particular issue. And you know me, I'm very much all about talking about mental health every day of the week, you know, if we can, and about finding mental health in every single aspect of our lives, because it's absolutely there. But it's always interesting when you get World Mental Health Day and these sort of highlighted days that come onto the calendar as well, because it means other people come on board, other organizations suddenly think, oh, right, maybe we should be saying something, maybe we should be doing something. And I think in recent years, the things that have been emerging during this time have been much more helpful, you know, genuine advice that comes linked in with, you know, really positive signposting services. We saw and heard last week as part of the podcast about Network Rail, who are really on the front line in regard to mental health in this country as a result of the nature of their industry. And sometimes literally the front line of people who are in a suicidal crisis. And we saw and we heard last week about the incredible Brighter Journeys display, and the images from that across stations right across the country have been really, really great to see, almost creating those sort of Instagram moments where people go, oh, what was that about? And I think just when people go, oh, it was a mental health thing, 5 years ago, that sort of stuff just didn't really happen. And I know sometimes there's people are concerned that, you know, we talk about mental health or mental health is just a buzzword. But I think there's a real marked change which has taken place in recent years, which when you do something, and why do you do it? Because of mental health. I think people are much more open to that conversation now, more so than they ever were. And particularly, and I'll stress this time and time again, when you speak to younger generations, there's such a normality around it that there's almost not an issue in the first place. That stigma that a lot of people grew up with, including myself, I will say, doesn't exist in those generations. And I'll give you an example of that one, actually, because I went to do a talk in a college, and one of the people were talking. I was sort of asked to explain where Mental Health Monday came from, and I think we're up to probably episode 180 or so by that particular point. And they were like, amazed that we'd been able to sort of get so many people talking about it. But we're pleased that that was able to be the case. So that was really good. But of course, one of the things when I talk about Mental Health Monday and where it started, and the reasons why it started, is to talk about sort of stigma and the fact that back then, to almost label something as being a mental health thing was almost seen as a negative. People would go like, well, who's going to talk on that? What are people going to say about that? And actually, that completely changed in the 180 episodes, now 220 odd episodes that we've done. But it was quite interesting that one of the students said, you keep talking about stigma around mental health, she said, but I think a lot of people that I know don't think there's a stigma around mental health. Do you think there's a danger that by talking about a stigma of mental health, you actually instill a stigma into mental health? And of course, my mind was blown at that particular point, because I'd never thought about it like that. That if you start saying there's a stigma to something which there isn't a stigma to, that do you put a stigma onto it? And I thought, well, I mean, that's a positive thing, a positive problem to have, isn't it? That there isn't a stigma. So therefore, we don't need to worry about talking about a stigma. And I think particularly when we talk in these environments as well, that you listening to this, you know, there's not a stigma around talking about your mental health within people who are sort of like-minded, the conversations that you had. But equally, you will probably know people, if you opened up that conversation too, they probably wouldn't respond in a way that other people who are maybe more educated on the subject what. So that stigma can absolutely still exist in little pockets or big pockets. But also, I think one of the things that has really changed in recent years is that that stigma now has completely disappeared in some sections of society. And if it's completely disappeared within friendship groups that may exist within schools and colleges and universities, absolutely brilliant. But let's never stop chipping away at that stigma. You know, if those stigmas don't exist in some groups, how did we get to that point? What were those conversations? How can we spread that out a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further than that? Change will come, of course it will, generationally. But I think as well, while we've got these pockets of non-stigma, how do we expand them? How do we make them bigger? How do we bring more people into that? So you suddenly go, you know what? I don't need to worry about talking about my mental health because I can do it stigma-free and without fear of someone judging me or making decisions about me based on what I'm about to say. And I think that conversation's really moving on. And I wanted to mention it sort of for World Mental Health Day, because right across the globe, there are people opening up to this issue. But institutionally, governmentally, just culturally, this will not disappear in one day. It will not disappear in one generation. This is a multi-generational approach to mental health and talking about things in a completely different way. So it's one of the things I'm really proud to talk about and something that I will continue to talk about on the podcast. I'm going to have a conversation this week with Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. Now, as I was a young man growing up, Dr. Linda was always the sort of the psychologist voice on TV shows like Big Brother, a classic example where they'd, I remember when Big Brother started, it was like a scientific experiment, wasn't it? About, in the end, it became this, I don't even know what it became in the end because I stopped watching it. But it moved away from that scientific experiment to be like who can have a fight and who can cop off with who. But right at the start, there was very much that focus about how were people responding within group environments. It was always really interesting. And Dr. Linda Papadopoulos was always a key part of that. So it's great to get her on the podcast this week for a quick conversation, actually, this week. And the reason it's a quick one is because I've been teaming up with the Where's Your Head At team from Bauer Media. Now, the Where's Your Head At team, and I'm pleased to say I'm now part of it, are campaigning for mental health first aid training to be available in all workplaces and all higher education settings as well, colleges and so on and so forth. And we've had some really positive steps forward in regard to that one. There are various things going through Parliament at the moment, which will mean we will hopefully achieve those aims. But actually, the call from Where's Your Head At this year for World Mental Health Day is, what will you say on World Mental Health Day? And what it's about is, it's about reaching out to people that we maybe lost touch with, maybe friends who we think, oh, actually, you know what? I've not spoken to them in a while. Maybe it's been the entirety of the pandemic, which, you know, started out being this 3-month period, then it was a 6-month period. And, you know, we're getting on to, well, where are we now? 18 months of not having those typical friendship interactions. And that might be meeting somebody in a coffee shop. It might be going down the library, speaking to someone there. It might be going to the pub. It might be going out to a restaurant. All of those things which we would do normally, but we've almost got out of the habit of doing. And I think it's important that we almost get back into some of those habits, but on our terms, if you like, because there are some habits which, you know, it's good to break and it's good to come up with new things. But if people are now fearful of reaching out to friendship groups or are unsure whether or not those friendship groups are, you know, still existing, if you like, I guess the idea for World Mental Health Day is to reach out and to say, hey, how have you been? Not seen you in ages. Can we, you know, meet up for a coffee? Not seen you in ages. Can we go for a walk in the park? And I think, and we'll touch on this with Dr. Linda, everyone's in a slightly different place on this. Some people will say, yes, I've been dying to get in contact, I can't wait, I've just been really busy. Other people will say, oh, you know, I'm still a little bit worried about things. But of course it means you can say, well, let's organize a Zoom conversation. Let's watch a film together on Zoom. We'll press play on Netflix at the same time and go from there. And I think it's one of those things which we all can actually do. I caught up with a friend just the other day, and I thought I hadn't seen him for, you know, a few weeks. Turned out it had been 6 months. Also turned out during that 6-month period, he'd also had 3 heart attacks. And I was like, goodness me. I said, it feels like it's just a matter of time, you know, before I saw you last. And yet he'd had this life-changing event, which had meant he wasn't able to communicate and all those things as well. And I just thought, goodness me, you know, and that was a relatively short period of time. Of course, people have had all sorts of things happen to them in the last 18 months or so. There'll be family members who have been born. There'll be family members that they've lost. And I think we almost need a time, don't we? A big catch up, a big brew, you know, or a pint or whatever it is, to sort of just remind ourselves about why we had these friendship groups in the first place, why we had these friends, how we connect to them, how we connect with them as well. One of my best friends growing up as well, you know, I saw him the other day. I worked out, I hadn't seen him for about 3 years. And the reason that we hadn't seen each other was that we'd sort of gone a slightly extended period of time where we hadn't been able to catch up, and that would have been 18 months. But of course, lockdown hit. And then that was 18 months where we couldn't do anything. So I saw him the other day and I was like, right, here's my son. You've never met him. And he's a toddler and he's talking and things like that. And my mate had literally never seen him because up until the point at which he was born was the last point at which I saw him. And it's almost depressing that you think, oh, these are my real friends and these are the people I like, yet we lose touch with them. Anyway, the idea around World Mental Health Day this year is, what will you say? So what will you say? What will that conversation be? How do you open up that conversation? And I think, you know, how have you been? What have you been up to? Even if you have to say to them, what have you been up to this week? How have you been? Did you have a good summer? You know, those opening questions which allow you to then ease your way into that conversation, which means that you can then talk about, you know, how was the start of lockdown? You know, have you lost anyone? You know, maybe talk about your own experience of losing someone during that time, the job uncertainties and all of those things that come. Lots of different conversations to have, a million and one things. You know, what new hobbies did you pick up? If they didn't pick up any new hobbies, what were those sort of coping mechanisms that they sort of employed during the pandemic? Or maybe they just want to tell you that it was a real struggle. And I think we can all empathize with that. But it's about having those conversations, picking up the phone and really having a chat with people. Anyway, that's me talking way too much at the start of the podcast this week. I hope you are. Thank you for getting in contact with us at the podcast. Thank you to everybody who's dropping me emails. What I'm going to do, because it's been World Mental Health Day, I'm going to do not a clean break as such, because I'm in conversations with lots of different people, but I've got a week off in a week or so's time. So what I'll do is I will make sure that the list of people that we're on, I'll make sure I'll give it a big refresh. So if you want to get involved in the podcast, maybe you want to come on as a guest, I'd love to hear from you. My email is in my Twitter bio, at Mr. Mick Coyle, C-O-Y-L-E. I'd love you to get involved in that. You can join the Facebook group as well. You can post messages through that. Just search for Mental Health Monday. You'll see the podcast art for that one too. I'd really like to hear from you. Do join in the conversations. Really appreciate it. Let's hear from Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. It's been a really difficult time for people during the pandemic. So what will you say on World Mental Health Day? Maybe it's time to reach out.
I think you're spot on. You know, it's so interesting, right? We had this kind of, you know, the word unprecedented was used a kajillion times. It really was. We went from kind of our normal interactions at work, with friends, with family, to being moved online completely, almost overnight, right? So, you know, in many ways, I think what would have taken us a long time to figure out, you know, how do you connect online meaningfully? How do you ensure that you kind of take a break if you have to work there all the time? What's the difference between voice and video? All of these things, we had to hit the ground running and kind of make decisions about that and understand that. And I think, while thank goodness we had that online world, I think for a lot of people, you know, figuring out those boundaries, figuring out how to get a bit of that self-care while they were online was very hard.
Absolutely. And in terms of that, we all tried to sort of muddle our way through, because of course there was no guidebook to it, particularly in those early stages as well. It's no surprise that maybe some people did drift away from some of those friendship groups that they were with, or maybe didn't want to get on board with, you know, the Zoom quizzes, and naturally sort of went within themselves during that period, particularly those lockdown periods.
I think you're right. Look, you know, for a lot of people, I think there was a sense that it's almost like, you know, you were told to make your world smaller, weren't you? You were told to stay at home, you're told, and we're creatures of habit, right? So the more we avoid, the more anxious we become about those things that we're avoiding, right? So we were avoiding those social interactions. And as a consequence, we found that, you know, they became a bit more difficult. And I think that's why there was such a push. I know that I was certainly speaking a lot about it at the time. Get on and do meaningful things. I mean, I would cook with my mother. She lives in Cyprus. I live in the UK. But, you know, it was great. She could criticize my cooking from afar. Worked out wonderfully. But it felt, at least it felt a bit closer to reality, because I think so many of our conversations became so purposeful, right? It was like, yeah, we're going to speak about this meeting at 2:00, and then at 2:30 you're going to speak about that, and I'll just fit in. And we really missed, I guess, all that other stuff. So for me, and I think for the people that I was sort of working with at the time, one of the big things that I spoke about was, how do you create those meaningful interactions? How do you shut off the noise when it gets too much? How do you press mute or ignore, ask yourself to leave?
I think it's strange as well, isn't it? Because probably for the first time in our entire lifetimes, we stepped away socially. I think there's always a sense, isn't there, that your social life is ever more. You know, there's more opportunities to go out, more friendship groups that you can be part of. And yet this sort of jolted us away from that one. And I guess now people are in a position where they're taking the baby steps again, if you like, to reach out and start thinking, oh, well, these are the people I used to hang around with. These are the people I'd be in regular contact with. Am I still friends with them? You know, we've not spoken in a year. We've not spoken in 18 months. How do I even start? I can't ask them, have they had a good year? Because I know that they probably haven't.
Yeah. No, look, that's such a good point. Like, how do you start and how do you create that? And look, it is small steps. You need to become uncomfortable. The only way you grow in confidence is doing the stuff that doesn't feel great, right? But at the same time, it's about sort of check your own temperature. And I kind of feel like this is true both online or offline, because there's never going, I think the distinction has never been more blurred with online and offline. Now it's had to become blurred, right? So kind of, you know, in the real world, this idea of if I'm, I don't know, at a party and this conversation is feeling uncomfortable or it's boring me, I kind of move to another group. Well, what if you're on a group chat? What do you do there? How do you kind of generally move? And I think the great thing is that you see sort of the technologies evolving around that. So I know with Messenger, they have things like ignore, which means that, you don't have to be part of it. Or, you know, one of my favorite things is, you know, changing your active status so people don't know that you're there. You know, we're not compelled to answer. So in the same way that in the real world, we can do those things. You can choose not to answer the door. Someone doesn't necessarily know that you're home. So I think we're kind of seeing this sort of reflection in what we use in the offline world with the online world increasingly.
Of course, you know, consent through all of this has got to be crucial as well. And I think we've almost, because we've not had those sort of physical interactions with people, I think we've almost lost, haven't we, those cues, those natural cues that you would have about people saying, yeah, let's talk some more, or should we meet up again? Should we go and grab a coffee? You can't get that from just guessing what someone's up to or just seeing, you know, a social media post that they're doing as well. So I guess we have to almost, it's a leap into the unknown, but I guess there's uncertainty all around, isn't there? And if we're all able to take that leap together, we can all sort of find our feet together, if you like.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, people keep saying about kind of getting back to a new normal, but hopefully, you know, ideally we get back to an even better place. And like, you know, I know that this conversation is could be much bigger. Like, how do we work? You know, how does that work? You know, how do relationships work? How do we kind of connect more meaningfully online? How do we connect more meaningfully offline? What do jobs, you know, all of these questions, we have an opportunity, right? So I guess the upside of this is that we've had to examine, like you say, all this stuff. And maybe part of relearning it isn't we go back to the same thing, but we try and tweak.
And in terms of that, for those people taking those first steps back into the world of socializing, being in picking up a phone, chatting to someone online, for people who haven't been sort of engaged with that because they've kind of thought, well, what's the point? We can't do anything anyway. Now the world is opening up. You can also then agree to, you know, meet in a pub, go for a meal in a restaurant, even think about booking a holiday. Well, what would you advise to people who are picking up and making a call for the first time, dropping an email for the first time, arranging a meaningful conversation through a social media platform?
I would say, you know what, do it, you know, do it consistently. There's nothing like having things in the diary to look forward to. So make a point of doing it. A big part of self-care is taking your own temperature. I think that's the other thing that I would say. So this is also a good time to kind of ask yourself, is this a relationship that's working for me? Is it not? Is it nourishing? So, you know, it's not that it's about as many relationships as possible. It's more about as many meaningful relationships, not as about as many experiences as possible. It's about meaningful experiences. So kind of, I think, being a bit more nuanced about, what we decide to do, but ultimately and sort of critically, it is about coming out of those comfort zones and trying new things.
And do you think you've got to be mindful as well about the response you might receive as well, that some people might be still wary of, the world that we're in at the moment, maybe even the means of communication, that they're not quite up to speed, if you like, with the world as is. So you may not necessarily get the response you're looking for, but I guess that shouldn't stop people reaching out and trying to make those connections.
Absolutely. And there is, look, there's always ways around that, about setting your boundaries, right? About kind of making those connections, but kind of setting, you know, early on, what are your expectations? You know, what do you expect from it? And what do they expect from you? And kind of having that kind of clarity within the interaction.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and I guess your final plea for people not to be alone and suffer alone. You know, ONS stats just out this week: 1 in 5, 1 in 6 people had suffered with depressive symptoms in the summer just gone, and during that time, I think 63% had said that loneliness was a factor in all of that. So it's happening. It's out there. These connections, we need to make them because people are struggling.
They are, and look, we're social beings. We're made to not be alone, and we are. You know, it's that thing everyone says, we are living in the most connected time ever. The point is, though, ensure that those connections are working for you, right? So, you know, it's not just about the accounts meeting. That's not really connecting. It is about, you know, and again, those are people that I know, there's still people that are stuck at home that are kind of, you know, compromised and they're worried, and, you know, find a way that works. You know, play a game online with someone, you know, watch a movie with someone. But once you can come out, do it tentatively, start in a park, you know, do it in a way that feels safe, but ultimately do it.
Absolutely. Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Such a pleasure chatting. Thank you so much.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. SHOUT to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.